Hey there, fabulous teacher. Have you been wondering how to make writing time in your classroom more effective for your students? Do you want your students to love writing time? If so, I think it's time for you and I to start transforming your writing instruction. I'm Melissa Morrison, and I have a passion for helping teachers to feel confident in teaching writing and help them grow successful writers. I've worked with numerous teachers to guide them through this transformation, and in this podcast, I bring you the practical strategies you need to make writing the best time of your day. Let's get going.
Hey there, fabulous writing teacher, and welcome to this episode of Getting Your Students to Write. I hope you're having a great day, and I hope you will enjoy this episode. So as I was thinking about this topic, I wanted to come up with an anecdote or, you know, something to serve as a metaphor. And so this is what I came up with. So I have both of my kids do their own laundry. And when my daughter started, it seemed to be okay. It went pretty well, right? I mean, she had to adjust and learn and remember what to do, but it happened, you know, and it didn't take too long. And when my son started, at around the same age, and actually was probably a little bit older, it didn't go quite as well, and we're still working on it, you know. He doesn't always remember to do it. He doesn't always remember to switch things to the washer. Sometimes he forgets what button to push. And so because of all of that, and, you know, because his laundry still needs to get done, sometimes I would just go in and do it for him, whether it's because he was like, oh, mom, I don't have anything to wear, can you do my laundry? Or because I would just go in his room for whatever reason and then see that it needed to be done, so I would do it. You know, instead of trying to take the time to figure out how to help him to do it, I would just do it. I mean, and we know sometimes it's easier. But sometimes I even just thought, like, maybe he can't handle this yet. Maybe this is just isn't going to happen right now. Maybe we need to wait a little more time. But I think ultimately what worked was that I did give it some time. I tried to think about how I could give that little bit of support to be able to help him remember or help him to, you know, feel more responsible or what. I don't know exactly what it was that worked, but I did also include him in the conversation, you know, like, this isn't working because you're not always remembering. What can we do to help, right? Do you need to think about a certain day where you do laundry? Should you, you know, we talked about different things, and we still, you know, it's not perfect, but I didn't give up. Sometimes I still have to help, but sometimes I still have to help my daughter too. But the moral of the story is that there are a lot of times when we try something new, especially when it's something new, and it doesn't go well right away, or it doesn't seem to be working because it causes another problem. And so we think, well, this just isn't going to work. Or I'm just not doing this right, or this isn't going to happen right now. And then because we're thinking that, we decide to either give up or that, you know, we're going to just take over. So maybe it's a situation with other people, right? And we're just going to take over, or we're going to go back to the way it used to be. And it's not because it was not possible. It's just because we're not giving it enough time, or we're not finding the way to adjust it as it needs to be adjusted so that it will work as we intended to. I know I've been guilty of this not only in my own personal life, but in teaching as well. When something starts that's new, whether it's a new initiative with the school and a new curriculum or program that we've bought, or a new technology piece, or just a new way of doing something, a new practice, it's very easy, and many times I have thought, this isn't working, or this isn't going to work, or the kids aren't going to be able to do this, right? We tend to sometimes be just negative about it. But also, like, even when we are feeling like we have tried it and it's not working right away or as fast as we think it's not working, or that it's not going to work, I should say. And I see this a lot too with teachers that I work with when we go in and we're adjusting some things with writing instruction, and things aren't quite going the way we think. And so we think it's just not going to work. And then we fall back onto our own practices, or we end up providing a lot of heavy support because we just don't think it's going to work, or we're not haven't given enough time. And so we just think, oh, we just need to help because we need to make this happen, right? And that control kind of comes back in. I'll share an example. One of the things that happens during workshop is that you want students to be able to decide when they are finished a piece and they can move on to start something new. They can go back and see if they're ready to revise or edit. And a lot of times, especially, well, I'm not going to say just especially in the lower grades, I'm going to say a lot of times they don't go back and revise. Some really do. But for some, it takes a lot. And then in it takes a while for that to happen. It takes a lot of instruction and help with going back and revising and wanting to have that stamina for it. And so a lot of times they're just starting something new when they're in that kind of section of the unit where that can happen. And that's all dependent upon how you've run your workshop. But sometimes what happens is students have such low stamina or just aren't taking enough time to really think about what else they could write or, you know, many different things. They will sometimes write one or two sentences and be done, or write a sentence on one page, a sentence on another page and be done and get more. And all of a sudden you're thinking, oh my gosh, this student has wasted so much paper. They just keep getting more paper and they're barely writing anything on it. And this could happen in kindergarten when they're scribbling a line and then getting something new. Drawing one picture and then getting something new, you know, second grade, they're doing still a picture maybe, or they're doing a little bit of writing and they're putting one piece on each page, five pages, and then they start something new, or they're just doing one sentence on one page, even in second grade, and then like, oh, I don't know what else to say, they start something new. And so a lot of times what happens is that teachers think, uh-oh, this idea of them starting something whenever they want isn't working. And so I'm going to instill a new procedure or rule where they have to show me their work before they get a new piece of paper, or they have to do a checklist before they get a new piece of paper, or I'm going to make sure I go over and look at what they're doing. You know, if they say they want a new piece or they're going to start a new piece, I go over and look at it and I say, oh, well, what else can we do with this writing? Let me help you think of what else you can add. Or we just think, this isn't going to work. I can't let them start a new piece whenever they want. It's just not going to happen. We're going to have to stay all together and say, okay, and walk them through each part of the piece because this is just, they're wasting paper and this isn't going to work, right? So that's one thing I've seen happen. And sometimes when teachers are worried about this, it tends to be that there's only a few students with this issue. And I get it. We pay attention to the things that aren't working. The students that are struggling the most tend to be the most that we worry about, think about, and work with. It happens a lot. And you know, so these things, the eyesores, right, they stick out and we worry about it. But really, when you look at your whole class and see that most of them get a good amount of writing done before they start something new, or many of them even go back and add things or revise in another way before they start something new, but just these few students that are, you know, running through paper, you just think, well, this isn't going to work. And what we really need to do, though, is give it time and try to figure out what it is that's happening, where the problem is really lying, and what we can do to try to support it, and not to go in heavily support it or to tell these students they have to bring their work to us, or these students, you know, have to follow a procedure. But we have to think, what is going on? Because for every student, this is going to be a little different. The reason they're starting over again so quickly is going to be a little different. And sometimes it'll be a combination of things, but it could be that they just need more stamina in this one piece, that they need to be able to think about it more, that they need different ways to be able to brainstorm what they're going to do, or that their stamina on it is low because they don't even understand what they can be doing in this maybe particular genre or just in writing in general. Like, what do I do? What can I do? Or they may be lacking in a certain ability and they're afraid to start doing more, or they're afraid to put their picture on the paper, or afraid to put their words on the paper. And so you have to really then go back into your data gathering phase and investigate a little bit and try to get into their head and then say, okay, I think it might be this, so let me try this. Now, there can be not necessarily like rules for these students who are just, you know, grabbing a new page after one sentence or whatever they might be doing, but more like goals. So if you know that for one student, it is just the stamina of sticking with something, they just don't want to keep going, or, you know, they have trouble focusing. So then there are going to be specific things that you might have them do. And they might be the same kinds of things you do in other times, in other sections of the day, maybe a timer before they can get up. Maybe like keep your pencil in your hand and think about what else you might be able to say. So you want to think about the issue and then try to fix it, right? Try to see what you can do to fix it. Another, you know, kind of example of when I think this has happened or happens in writing, and I guess this is more of a general one of like when you don't see the right kind of either structure or maybe even elaboration in a piece of writing, and you think, okay, well, they're not getting this, you know, they're not applying the beginning, middle, end, let's say, in like a kindergarten or first grade classroom, or they are writing an opinion, like a literary essay, and they don't quite have the explanation when it comes to their evidence, or, well, I could go on and on, but there's something that you feel like they're just not quite getting that in there. And so you think, you know, I didn't give them a really laid out planner to begin with. Maybe that's what they need to be able to fill out before they start writing. And I am really wary of any graphic organizer that is already laid out and it says opening sentence, it includes this and this sentence and it includes that. Now, it's one thing to have like an anchor chart that people can look at, or when you're teaching that part that students can look at. But it's another thing to have a planner where as they are thinking of the ideas for their draft, they see this thing that tells them what to do. And I'm wary of anything that they can't make on their own, because that's, as soon as you take it away, they might not be able to do as much as they were when they had it, right? So you want them to be able to do it as independently as possible. That's one thing. Also, sometimes we overlook or pass by the step of trying to see like why they're not including it in there. Sometimes we think, well, we did a lesson on it and we wrote one together, and so they should be doing it at this point. Well, that's not enough, right? So it might be that they don't have enough demonstration or modeling, or they don't have enough practice. They don't have enough practice where they're doing it on their own. Or it's that, you know, we think they're like, say, not including the elaboration because they forget it, but maybe they just don't understand it, you know? So we have to get to the point, and sometimes it takes a little bit, where we find out why it's really happening, you know, or maybe they don't understand the purpose of it and they don't find it important or meaningful. And, you know, it's just because, well, you said it should be there. And so that just makes them not very motivated to put it in. I mean, that's a real thing, you know? So again, it really just comes to, one, giving things time, two, finding out what the deal is. Like, what is the reason it's not happening? Trying to get into your writer's head and figure out where this missing piece is, that something is happening or something is not happening with them as a writer. And then seeing if you can find the little strategies that are going to help them to be able to implement it. And I know that you might be thinking, but we just don't have time for that. Like, we just need to get them to do this. We need to see a better piece of writing, or we need to see that they can do X, Y, Z because that's the standard or that's what's on their test. And I've thought that myself. But this comes back to the whole idea of paying attention to the writer, teaching the writer. And just as, you know, I think it was Katie Wischow on the last previous episode that talked about the writer's default. You have to know what's going to happen when they are on their own and they go to write without any support from you. What are they going to do? And so if you don't know where their default is, you don't know the reason why something is happening, then they're not going to get to that great piece of writing. And if you are giving them too much help, or you're just quitting on the thing that might actually be helpful, then they're still not going to learn how to do it on their own. They're not going to be able to learn how to be a writer and use this strategy or do this thing, whatever it might be, on their own. So I'd like you to think about any, you know, challenge, difficulty that's happened recently in writing, something that a student was struggling with, especially if it was something new that you tried, and just try to reflect on it. You know, was there a little more time needed, a little more demonstration, coaching, modeling, or some data gathering? Did you need to figure out what was going on in order to help that problem? And then see if you might be able to try it again next year. Or now, if you still have some time left in your year, depending on when you might be listening to this episode. And then before I leave, I wanted to let you know that throughout the rest of the month of June, I'm going, and the summer, probably possibly through September, I'm going to have an episode every other week. So if you're looking for it every week and it's not there, I'm sorry, but it will be every other week. And then I'll probably start back up in the fall with every week having an episode. Thanks for joining.
Hey again, I am so happy to have had you listen in again today. I would like to ask a little favor. If you're enjoying the podcast, could you take a moment to go wherever it is that you listen and write a review and tell others what you find so great about these episodes? I would love to be able to share it with more teachers to help them in their writing instruction, just as hopefully I've been helping you. Thank you so much.